Welcome to this special series I'm calling Stop Surviving. This is for every ambitious working mom who feels stuck in the loop of just getting through the day, where you're feeling like you're juggling so much work and kids and laundry and meetings, and somewhere in there, you're supposed to feel successful and you're supposed to feel grateful and you're supposed to feel fulfilled and joy. But instead, what you often feel is just overwhelmed, exhausted, reactive, and disconnected from life that you've worked so hard to build. This series is about what happens when you stop operating in survival mode and start actually living. I'm going to walk you through the three most powerful transformational results women experience inside my group coaching program, Ambitious and Balanced. The first one is peace over panic. The second is time for yourself. And the third is success that actually feels like success. And if all of this speaks to you, then I want you to know the September cohort of Ambitious and Balanced is open right now. A few spots have already been filled. And once I hit 10, I close the doors. So if you're tired of feeling like you're just treading water, like if you're ready to feel calm and in control and alive in your life once again, then I encourage you to go to my website, www.RebeccaOlsonCoaching.com/ambitious and balanced to learn more, to get all of the dates, and to book a 30-minute strategy call with me to make sure you are the perfect fit for this program. Are you ready? Let's get to it. Welcome to the Ambitious and Balanced Working Moms Podcast, your go-to resource for integrating your career ambitions with life as a mom. I'm distilling down thousands of coaching conversations I've had with working moms just like you, along with my own personal experience as a mom of two, and sharing the most effective tools and strategies to help you quickly feel calm, confident, and in control of your ambitious working mom life. You ready? Let's get to it. Working moms, I am so excited for today's episode. Today we have a very special guest. This is a client from one of my past cohorts of Ambitious and Balanced. Her name is Randita Mello, and I'm going to have her introduce herself here in a moment. But what I'm so excited about in this particular conversation, as she talks about, of course, her experience within Ambitious and Balanced and what that was like, but really like the way that Randita showed up for herself in this program is just like transformative. And I'm so excited to have her energy and everything she wants to share with us today about her journey. So thank you for being here, Randita.
You're welcome. I'm super excited to be here.
So good. Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself just to get started?
Yeah. So my name is Randita Mello. I'm an immigrant. I moved to the United States when I was 19 years old to go to college. I'd never been on a plane before that day. Decided I wanted to come to California. Decided I wanted to go to college here and got on a plane, and I've been here and never left. I found my soulmate here. Now I have three children with him. Super happy. It's the life I've always dreamed of. Career-wise, I have always known I wanted to do tax, which is weird for a lot of people, but I wanted to do accounting and tax when I was in eighth grade, and my whole life has kind of been planned around, that's what I want to do, that's what I'm going to do. I told myself I was going to work in San Francisco when I was 16 years old, and I made it happen. I continue to work in San Francisco.
Oh, gosh. You declare these things and they happen for you.
I did. Realize it, that I had been doing that my whole life.
I love that.
Yeah, I've been doing tax in the accounting world for over 15 years now, and I really love what I do. I think really shows in the way I show up to work every day is I'm just super excited to do what I do.
So good. So tell us a bit about why you decided to join Ambitious and Balanced and where you were sort of at before you joined this program.
So what really happened is a couple of years ago, I had a really dramatic shift in my life and my career. I had this amazing mentor who was a father figure, who was a friend I talked to about 14 years, every day on a daily basis, unexpectedly passed away. And he was a I'd never suffered a loss in my life like that before. And the complete trajectory of my career changed. I went through, you know, the day he passed, I was actually 36 weeks pregnant. So I couldn't really grieve because I really had to take care of the child that I was growing. And I really had to push my grief aside and just let the baby be born. But that was just a huge change in how my life was. I knew my life had completely changed. Somebody that I worked together for two jobs, somebody who spoke at my wedding. I was really close to his family. So when he passed, it really shook my belief in who I was. And he was, you know, really big into his career. And I saw how much impact he put on his career. And it really made me think, hey, who am I? And what is my value and what's my worth? And at that point, there was a change in leadership at my work. And there was an environment that I had struggled with, a change in environment, new leadership. And I think that really shook my belief as to, like, am I valuable? Am I good enough? And at that point, I had actually thought about reaching out to you, Rebecca, because I heard you on a talk. But I talked myself out of it. I'm like, hey, like, I don't need help. I got this. You know, asking for help is weak. That's what I believed and I'd been told, and I don't ask for help. So at that point, I didn't reach out to you. And that's one of my regrets is I didn't, because I think my life would have been slightly different, even though it's pretty good right now.
Yeah. So then what was the impact of all kind of the self-doubt and the questioning and all the, you know, what you were going through at that time? What was the impact of all of that?
Oh, the impact was pretty harsh on my family. I was bringing home all this energy in my family, and to my children, to my husband. And I really look at that period of a year and a half or 2 years of, like, not being present. I wasn't present with my kids.
It's like you missed 2 years of your kids' lives.
I did. And that was really hard. But I was just doing my best to survive at that point, and I didn't even realize it.
It was like, oh, this is just what you're supposed to do, right? You just work hard and you know, work as many hours as needed to get the job done. And this is the life of a demanding job and a working mom, right? That's what you just do. And then you just miss 2 years of your kid's life.
Yep. And all I did was say yes to everything, even when things were, you know, not good for me. And I realized it. I just said yes. I work extra long hours. I made myself, you know, available to these extra work events, like happy hours and things like that, instead of really spending time with my kids. And I really feel like I was in a haze for a year and a half, 2 years. And not one of my regrets, Rebecca, is like not joining your program at that point. And I really wish I had. So I was really living, like, if you're looking at a scale of 0 to 10, I was maybe living at a 2.
In terms of happiness, in terms of balance, in terms of everything, confidence, like everything was a 2.
At a 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
You couldn't really tell because I'm very high functioning at work. So nobody could tell. But at home, you couldn't tell.
Something pushed you over the edge, though. Something said, okay, this is the time. What was that?
So what happened was I left that environment, right? I decided to, like, changed my environment. I went to another job. I took on a higher role where I was, you know, executive facing. I was doing these things that I knew I was built for. But in the back of my mind, I could feel that my current employer, there were some big changes coming. I could just feel it because there'd been a ton of layoffs. And while I knew that my job was valuable, I could just feel big changes coming. So at that point, I actually was invited to attend an event where you gave a presentation. And this was a RISE event, Women in Renewable Energy and Sustainable Energy event, where it was led by one of my friends, Liz Carroll. And you spoke again. This was the second time I had seen you. And I walked out of that conversation saying, hey, I really think I need to join this. But it wasn't just that. Liz and Anna was another friend of mine who had also attended one of your cohorts. And they both know me really, really well. They both reached out to me afterwards and they said, hey, you need to join this, because they know me. They know that they hadn't really known the struggles I was going through, but they could see it.
You thought you were doing a great job hiding it, but in reality, of course, the people that know you best knew this was, you were at a 2 out of 10 and you were barely surviving through all of it, right?
Yep.
And so you mentioned on your final evaluation, I was just reading through that, which was, there's so many things that we could talk about that you have, like, literally have been transformations from when you started to where you're at now. And one of them you talked about, Clarity Week. You talked about how impactful this, like, basically this week of learning, right? Where you learn the process, where we coach through the process and we apply it to your life. We go through, you know, what are kind of the fundamentals, the three C's of this program. Tell me about that experience for you.
So that was, I think, and I've said this so many times to you, that was so impactful to me. I realized in 40 years of my life, I had never sat down and talked to myself, asked myself who I was and what it is that's driving me to go out on a daily basis and do things. Through that week, I actually sat down and journaled for the first time in my life. And I realized that since the time I wake up until the time I go to bed, there was so much negative self-talk going in my head. Everything was driven by what is wrong with you? Why can't you do this?
Yeah. Yeah. You're not enough. You're not good enough. You should be doing more. You're failing at everything. Mm-hmm. Right.
That was really, really hard for me. Everything from, you know, waking up in the morning to my workouts. That's the first thing I do, like, consistently every day. My workouts were centered around telling me, you are not good enough. Why can't you do this better? Like, that's how I was talking to myself.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And on some level, didn't even realize it, right? I'm sure you had some semblance of an understanding of what was going on. Maybe, maybe not, but it was really during this week when we took some intentional time to pause and say, hold on, let's actually get in tune with what that voice sounds like and the impact it's actually having in your life. So what did you realize through that?
Is that not only was I doing that to myself, but it was also starting to come out in the way I was talking to my kids. But that's because that's what I'd always known. I had, you know, the life I had before I moved to America, I was in boarding school. Everything was stick, stick, stick. There was no parents. There was never, you know, do it from a place of love. Do it or you suck, basically. And I really started realizing that, hey, I'm talking to myself this way. I'm also talking to my, am I talking to my kids this way? And one of the things that happened that week when we were, I was coming to this realization, and I told you this, you asked me to print a picture of me as a little girl, put it in front of, and I still have it. It's all in front of my.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
And the picture I have here, she looks like what my 6-year-old looks like right now.
Mm.
So now the way I talk to myself is I just think about, hey, would I talk to my daughter that way? Would I talk to my son that way? Like right now, every time they need me, I uplift them. Everything is about bringing them up. They're told on a daily basis that they're a dream child. They're the child I've always dreamed of.
Oh, I love it. Things you were not doing before, let's just be clear, right? Like you've completely changed your tone towards them as you learned how to change your tone towards yourself. You know, that became something that you then did with your kids. And I remember we had, not just you and me, but the whole cohort had this conversation around kind of breaking this almost like generational, you know, pattern, the cycle that we as ambitious women have learned somehow, which is we need the negative self-talk in order to be successful and to be driven and to achieve our goals. And that, you know, I wouldn't say necessarily universally, but everyone related to that, right, in the cohort. And I would say that's true of all of my clients, right? There's like this, I call it the whip inside of you, right? That's just telling you always that you should be doing more and you should be better. And that whip inside of us, on some level, we mistake that for being the thing that actually drives success. And so I remember this conversation that we were having. It's like, how do we make sure we don't do this to our girls? Right? How do we shift this for them? And I remember specifically, I said, you got to shift it in you first, right? That's how this is going to happen, is you become the example for them of what it looks like to have a more supportive internal voice and still like be just as successful as you were before, right? And that became almost like the problem to solve is how do you do that? How do you become just as successful without that negative internal dialogue all the time, right? And of course, we had lots of good conversation around that over the 3 months that we were together. What did you learn about that? I'm curious.
That was life-changing to me, was first of all, connecting with myself on a daily basis. So now the negative self-talk is almost isn't there, but every now and then it comes out. But I've realized that it's an active work for me to do, to quieten that on a daily basis. And nothing's wrong with me if it resurfaces every now and then. And when it does, I just tackle it the way I do, but it's daily work. Every morning, setting down the intention. And now what I do on a daily basis, I have my workbook for my job or for anything that I do in the day. Before I start anything, I write my affirmation. I am strong, I am capable, and I am blessed. And I have these pencils that all of my children have, and they're like affirmation pencils. You can see it.
Just, oh my gosh, that's
cute. I am strong. So I actually take that.
Yeah.
We all know that because I give them. So every time I have birthday parties, I give packets of those pencils to the kids.
Oh, I love that. So good.
And the moms reach out, you know, they ask me where I get it.
Like, where do you get these? Yeah. I love that.
It works. So,
yeah. So good.
That's completely changed for me.
And I don't remember if you had an affirmation practice at all before this program. Did you? Because it's not something that's like one of the core practices. I do talk about affirmations and the impact of them, but really it's like your brain needs to believe that, right? And that's where I think a lot of for affirmations, it doesn't work for a lot of people, or it just, yeah, becomes not a useful practice to them because they're saying words that they don't believe, right? Their brain is sort of arguing with you about it.
It wasn't prior to the program, like I said, I had this affirmations app. Every day an affirmation would come in. And I'm like, oh, good. I'm doing my job. I'm doing what I have to do is I have an affirmation. And now I can actually feel it. In the morning when I say it, I say it in my mind. I write it down and then I say it out loud because I want it to sink in and I want to believe that I'm blessed and I am capable of hard things.
Yeah, all the things. Yeah, so I almost like, I don't want people to hear that kind of practice and think, oh, that's, you know, that's kind of all I have to do. It's what we really do is we cultivate a really intentional voice inside of you, right? We do that through practicing what you want to believe about yourself, finding evidence for how that is true every single day, and then deepening that belief in who you are and what makes you amazing and remarkable, right? And we do that in a variety of ways. One of them is through more of like a traditional affirmations, but there's so many other ways that we do that to get your brain on board with the idea that you are in fact amazing and that you are capable and that you are unique and you are valuable and you have so much to offer this world and it's possible for you to figure out all the hard things in life, everything from, you know, a major issue at work to like work-life balance and balancing your schedule, right? Which is also super hard and complex at the same time. You're very capable of it. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And we talk about, you know, finding the evidence to support the affirmation. So when I say I am strong, I remember this exercise we did at the cohort, which was writing down 3 pages of all the things, hard things we have done. So I keep going back to those 3 pages constantly. So every time I have a moment of self-doubt, I'm like, hey, I did that. I can do that. I can do this.
I can do this. Right. I can tackle this moment.
Yeah. Just and this will pass, but I've done so many hard things in life that, you know, I can do it. Yeah. It's just finding evidence to support what I want to believe and tell myself every day.
So the developing, kind of lessening the negative self-talk, I mean, you're saying like, it's really gone away. Like you probably went from it being, you know, dialed up to a 10 to dialed up to like a 1 or 2 at this point, right? A huge dramatic difference.
Totally.
But not even that, you've also, and this is actually a separate thing, and I want to make sure we're talking about it separately. You've done that. You've also developed a different internal voice, right? Like you've replaced that voice very intentionally with one that is very supportive, compassionate, loving, toward you, right? Just in the same way that you might talk to your kids. And so you do, there's been a development of a new internal voice inside of you. And what, I'm just curious, what has that done for you to have developed, to lessened the negative voice and then increased this more compassionate, loving voice? What's been the impact of that in a tangible way?
I think it's helped me see clarity in things. One example is before, you know, if I had a hard day at work, you know, I come home, let's say my husband and I are for a fleeting moment are not getting along. Before I would just say, hey, Ranjita, just like, what's wrong with you that you can't even have an open conversation with your husband, right? Mm-hmm. And now when, you know, inadvertently something always happens, right? When you have two, you're married to somebody who's from a different culture, you know, has their own cultural expectations of things that I have my own, there's going to be conflict. But now we don't look at conflict as a bad thing. So now that self-talk tells me, hey, go tell him what you want. Go tell him how you felt about something that happened. And he might not even realize that he did it, right? So now I just go to him and I'm like, hey, I felt this way. I'm not sure if you wanted me to feel that way, but I felt that way and I felt pretty bad. What can we do about that?
You become so much more of your own advocate for what you're feeling, what you need, how you want to be treated. And yeah, I remember you've talked a lot about that in relation to, of course, your marriage, how you show up as a parent. And I assume that has had its impact at work as well.
Yeah, I really think so, because right before I was starting my cohort with you, I was having a lot of anxiety problems where I couldn't breathe, right? And I even went and got my heart tested because I'm like, something is wrong with me. Like, something physically has to be wrong with me because this is not right. I'm not sleeping. I'm so stressed out because of, you know, all these potential changes coming through the pipeline and what that might mean for me. And I went to this series of tests that I got done. And at the end of the day, nothing was physically wrong with me. Nothing was physically wrong with me, but I have this aura ring that I wear that basically tracks everything. And I've had it for 2.5 years. So it's been tracking my life for 2.5 years about how I sleep and all of this stuff. Yesterday, it sent me a message saying, hey, over the last 3 months, your heart rate has gone down. So you're clearly doing things that are beneficial for you.
Oh my goodness.
Good work. So that's like data telling me.
So good. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Which tells me like your anxiety is lessened. It tells you that you know, there's less pressure, tells you that you are, you're handling the stress of your daily life, you know, of a demanding job and being a mom of three and in a way that is significantly different than what you were doing before.
Yeah, I literally have chills as I'm talking about it.
I know, I did too. That's amazing. Data doesn't lie. The aura ring doesn't lie.
And I'm totally data driven. So to me, that's like just evidence that I already knew I was feeling better. I've been meditating a lot, but I've been journaling every single day since Clarity Week. I've never journaled before in my life.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's amazing. I love it. And you know, that's not necessarily something I tell you to do in this program, right? I suggest writing these things down. There's lots of research that says, not necessarily, we could talk a lot about what journaling actually means and what you're doing in your journaling, but just writing your thoughts down and getting those things down on paper in any format, you know, whether it's a bullet point or if it's a story or whatever it might be. You know, lots of research shows that there is extreme value in that. Your brain is going to, something happens when you put pen to paper, right? And you literally physically start to do that. So I love that. I also know that, because you also wrote this in your final evaluation, you talked about boundaries. And I think that this is a huge impact that this advocate voice that has shown up for you, the self-compassionate, loving, this is possible for me, right? I can do hard things. This voice that you've really cultivated over the last several months has displayed itself in really tangible ways, like your ability to say no at work and to put up really strong boundaries and to like push back in a way that you were not doing before. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yep. So case in point, I took last week off. I hadn't taken a week in, I don't know, like how long, years, it's been years. I had a week off. I think in between my last two jobs, I took a week off. And, you know, so I took the week off. Normally, I don't do that. Second, if I take time off, I continue to check my emails to make sure there's no fire drills, to make sure that I'm not the bottleneck holding anybody back. The shift in me has been last week, I worked on Monday because something needed to be done. And it wasn't somebody else's expectations of me. It was my expectation of myself. Is I need to do this because it will make me feel better and it'll make me feel good about what I'm doing. It's not about anybody else. Then Monday, at the end of the day, I sent a note to my boss and I said, hey, I'm off now. I think everybody is set. Have a good week.
And that was it.
I haven't checked my email since Monday night.
So good.
And it shows up every now and then. My Outlook says, you know, like 130 emails. And the other day I just went quit. I'll talk to you when I talk to you, because nobody is going to, no physical harm is going to come to anybody because I'm not there. And everybody is capable of handling things that they're meant to handle. And it is not my job to worry about things when I'm taking the time off that I was promised as part of my compensation. This is my compensation.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
My kids, I'm like, the things I'm looking forward to doing this week is being like, you know, I got the summer pass, a bowling pass for the summer. I take my kids bowling every day.
Love that.
Every day. And then I make dinner with them every day. So I just think about those things that I want to do that make everybody happy and how happy my kids are to see me all the time. And they think I'm the best thing that ever walked on this planet. Like, who doesn't want feeling that way constantly? It's me so much like it's like a positive elixir, you know? Like, they just look at me and they're like, you're the best. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank you.
I am, aren't I? Like, thank you so much. I'm so glad you're noticing and acknowledging my amazingness. So good. I love it. Yeah, you're a crazy, amazing, wonderful mom.
Like, that's how they talk to themselves now. My three-year-old was playing the other day, and she's playing with her Legos, and she goes, I am so cool.
I love it. I love it. That's so great. I love when like, that's a byproduct of the work that you've done with on yourself, right? Like, that isn't something we could have anticipated was going to happen when we started this program. You know, I couldn't have said, yep, this is how your kids are going to start talking to themselves once you start talking to yourself that way, right? But it's been, what a beautiful, amazing byproduct of the work that you've been doing on for yourself. Like, that, I want you to really like take that in, like receive that, because this journey has been, you've put in the effort to make these internal changes happen.
Yeah. I mean, my husband, we both looked at each other when she said this, and there was joy in his smile and there was joy in my smile. We were just so proud of that moment because she really believes it.
Oh my goodness. So good. So good. I love it. I love it. Well, we'll keep that as long as that innocence, as long as possible, until
she's gonna keep
until the world pushes back and she has developed an internal voice to push back again. So I love it.
She's gonna continue believing it. I actually write this down, Rebecca. One of the changes that's happened to me in my work notebook, you'll notice, like before, where I have, you know, a lot of Zoom meetings and I take notes or whatever. During these meetings that I've been having for the past year and a half, where every week I have an exec-facing meeting, and these meetings can be really intense. It's all about this one particular project that's really high value. A lot of these meeting notes now, in the middle of my notes, I write, you got this. Like, you got this. It's just like all over my notebook. And it's just like prepping myself while the meeting is continuing. And if I notice that, you know, I'm feeling a little bit anxious or whatever, nobody knows what I'm writing, right?
Yeah, of course. Of course. You're just writing little statements about yourself, little affirmations, little things you want to remember.
Yes.
And like shifting your energy into that place, right?
Yep. And I'm like, 10 more minutes. You got this. You got this. You can do this. After 10 minutes, you can go do something else. But like 10 minutes, just keep it up. Just keep your head up.
You know what? One of the things I love about so much of this conversation is we're talking about your internal transformation that's happened, right? We're talking about changing your self-talk. We're talking about changing the way you feel and lessening anxiety. But you know, this program is a work-life balance program. Like literally the goal at the end of this program is for you to be able to prioritize differently in your life, to put yourself, put your family above, you know, work and productivity, and yet still be just as productive and successful as you were before. Like that's the, it's a really tangible goal that I would expect to see in your calendar as like data points of that, right? And I would expect that externally, we're going to see a lot of things that look differently in how you're managing your time and how you're speaking to people and what you're prioritizing and what, and all those things, right? And yet your path there, you know, obviously I can say this as, in so many different ways, but I think listening to you talk about the transformation just gives so much more like weight to the process. Mm-hmm. You know, the path there is through the internal journey. Mm-hmm. We're going to get you to that place where you're putting up boundaries and you're saying no, and you're managing your calendar and your time differently, and you're prioritizing yourself, and you're actually present with your family. We're going to get there through shifting the way you talk to yourself, building, you know, unshakable confidence within yourself, learning how to be your biggest advocate and to build that self-compassion and all those things into inside of you, so that those become the things that's the way you prioritize life, right? That's the way you balance life.
Yeah, we talked about what work-life balance means, right? That's how we started our conversation at Cohort. And you said it's a feeling, and it's exactly what I've, and at that point, honestly, to tell you the truth, I'm like, what the F? Like, what?
Yeah. What? You're probably not the only one. Right.
I don't want to talk about
it. I don't mean to bait and switch you, but I mean, we got to get to the heart of it immediately.
Yeah, like, I don't know what that means. Like, give me like points as to how I can fix things.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. But, meaning like fix my schedule.
Yes.
Not work so much.
Yes.
You know, feel better. Like, tell me what specifically I externally have to do in order to do those things and achieve that.
Give me like a free step of tangible things I can do, which you did eventually, but we still had to sort through the inner workings first and the inner monologue to actually come up with what balance means and what feels.
Yes. Yeah, of course. Otherwise it's just an esoteric idea, right? And we have to put some like tangible legs to it. I am curious, how would you describe the process, the ambitious and balanced process, like, or the steps? In your own words.
I think the way you had it organized is first, think and talk about what balance means to you, right?
Yeah. Like clear, it's got to be clear.
It's got to be clear in your mind what it means to you. Like what does that mean to you? And then after you figure out what it means to you, look at the obstacles that are getting in your way at the moment. Like what are the things that are hurting you? One thing we talked about was, you know, always being available. Like to me, that was my identity. What is my identity? My identity was I'm always available.
Yeah. I'm going to be responsive immediately when somebody needs me.
And, you know, I wanted my boss, my colleagues to always know that I'm dependable, I'm available, and I'm responsive, right? And that was a major shift in how I identified myself as a worker. I can tell you now, I'm not always responsive on the moment. I think about things before I respond. I'm not always available. I'm available during the times I need to be available. And obviously there are some exceptions when you're working in a project that's super intense and requires that. But that is an exception. That's not the norm.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's something that you decide, right? Which is really different. We talk a lot about that. Like, it's okay if you want to work past 5 o'clock or like work on the weekend. I just want you to decide that from an intentional place. Like, I want you to give me good enough reasons for doing that, not just because you feel like you have to, right? Not just because it's like the default way of operating.
Yeah, I think that clarity week at the start where you talked about what does balance mean to you? What is your identity currently? Why? Why is that your identity? And then is that an identity actually getting in the block, is the roadblock from what you want in terms of balance? And then maybe it's time to create a different identity that still resonates with you, that still makes you feel like you're succeeding at home, work. And what can you do to make that constant and consistent?
Yeah, I love that. So clear, really clear around what the goal is ultimately, like what balance even means to you. And then it's sort of identifying like who you need to be and what you need to believe about yourself, your identity, if you will, you know, around who you need to be in order to achieve that, right? So like align the who. I like sometimes I'll say it like that, like you got to align the who with the what, right? Because at the moment, those things are likely not congruent with each other, right? You have to actually shift a bit of who you are and how you operate internally in order to create the balance that you've defined for yourself, right? And so, and in this, the C that I use is I just call that confidence, right? We just talk about, and confidence is really just belief in self. It's the way you talk to yourself. It's kind of an emotional state that is steady and sturdy and consistent no matter kind of what's going on around you in life, or if you fail, or if you get to the desired result, or if somebody's upset, or if your kid is having a meltdown, right? It's like that level of belief in self. And then to your point, like, and then it's about actually doing some things to make that consistent. Like, and the C I use is control. That's how I talk about it. Clarity, confidence, control. And that control piece is leaning into daily practices and strategies to keep your mind in order, keep your emotions in order, prioritize in the ways that you want, and do that in a really consistent way. Like work-life balance isn't like set it and forget it. And I know we like to think that sometimes, like I'm going to achieve that and then I get to maintain that once I achieve it without a whole lot of effort. Like that actually isn't how it works. You achieve that level of work-life balance that you want and that level of happiness and success that you want. And then it requires continual work on that. It requires you to maintain a mindset and an emotional space and priorities in such a way that maintains. Now, that doesn't have to be hard, right? That doesn't have to be a lot of time at all.
No.
But it does have to take some intention.
Yeah, I think the daily work and the work from home transition, which are the tools that we work through.
Yeah, we really lean into. Mm-hmm.
Those are my non-negotiables now.
Mm.
So like,
I love that.
The exercise is non-negotiable 7 days a week. It's not as hard exercise. I'm not yelling at myself anymore. I'm actually out there in my garage having a good time and telling myself to push myself harder, but it's all coming from a good place. But with that non-negotiable, the daily work, every morning I do it. Sometimes on weekends, I feel like it's your muscle memory. It just naturally happens. But the work from home transition has completely changed my evenings with my children and my husband.
Oh. So good.
Because
so good.
I actually like sit down and visualize for 2 minutes, less than 2 minutes. What do I want out of this evening? Like I want to see the smiles on my kids' face when I pick them up. I want to feel good about, first of all, how my day's been. So I sit down and write about the three wins. And then I always plan for tomorrow anyway. So it doesn't take a lot of time. It takes me 10 minutes at the most. And then I have three things that I got to do tomorrow. Then I visualize picking up my children, how happy they're going to be, their smiles on their faces. And then I visualize making dinner. And it's something I love to do, is cooking. It's very therapeutic. I visualize making dinner. I visualize hanging out with them. And then I visualize taking them to bed, because it's also like super, I just love it because they're just like so cuddly.
Yeah, all snuggly and all the things that they're not going to be always. But yes, no, I agree.
Love
it's one of my favorite moments too. Oh, good. I know.
Those two pieces have been super non-negotiables to me that I do every single day. But I realize that if I don't do it, where there have been moments I haven't done, I notice an immediate impact on how I talk to myself.
Sure. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Which is great, because it just reinforces how important these are. And to your point, like this is like 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the afternoon. That's the whole point in this program, is I wanted to give you two of the most transformative, impactful practices that take less than 10 minutes, because that's really all it takes, but it does require some consistency, right? It doesn't require a lot of time, but it does require you giving yourself some space to think, to feel intentionally, and to prioritize in the way that you want, right?
Yeah.
So I love that we're sort of ending on this note too, because I feel like as we talk about internal transformation, that can feel so like loosey-goosey and a little like, there's something not super tangible about that. And yet we're also talking about really tangible things that you are doing and that we learn in this program how to do, that I walk you through that internal process and the actual like daily practices and things that are going to be required in order to maintain it. So it's this... If you listen to this podcast, you know that I'm a very practical, like linear thinker. I tend to break things down step by step. You know, most every woman that works with me is also likely that way, right? That's one of the reasons why they're drawn to me is because of the way I structure things. And I want to make it very, I want you to see like A plus B plus C down, you know, down the line. I want you to see the process. And it really is, it is that way as we, this program is designed with that kind of linear strategy, right? To get to a place of work-life balance.
Yeah. Not to talk about myself, but you work with some very smart women. Yeah. We are looking for step-by-step directions as how to find this balance, but we need to see it. We need to see the evidence behind it. And I feel myself, like my mind clicking and things making sense as you would break down the steps. I'm like, oh, that makes so much sense. That makes so much sense. So
I love it.
Oh, yeah. Daily work has a daily impact. Yep.
Ranjita, I feel like I could just talk to you forever. Thank you so much for being here on this, on the podcast, on this episode, sharing your transformational experience. I know there's some vulnerability in that to share that. So I'm just so grateful that you came today. Last question for you. Anybody that is listening, that is thinking about joining Ambitious of Balance, joining the next cohort, what would you say to them?
I would say my only regret of this program is I didn't join sooner. I really believe that if I had joined 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, when I was going through this transformational change in my personal and professional life, I really think I would have gotten out of the, why is all this happening to me? And what can I do to get what I need out of the situation mindset? My only regret is not joining sooner. And I used to be a very critical person. I'm still am. Like I need you to show me evidence that it works, right? And if you've gotten somebody like me to kind of change and change the way I approach life, approach my work, and still like not punish myself on a daily basis, it's just, I would say join today, because you don't even know what it could do for you if you really engross yourself into this program. And it's not a huge time commitment. It's really little blocks of time that you want to dedicate to make your life better.
Yep. Yep. I love it. So good. Thank you. Thank you for that endorsement, if you will. And it is the perfect time to join. I am forming the next cohort right now. We actually don't start until September, so we've got lots of time to plan. There's no excuses that you can't make it happen in your schedule, right? Because you have so much time to block off the required time in our weekly calls and the things like that. But for the first time, I am integrating a video course into this as well that you will get access to 1 month before we start, which is why I am forming the cohort right now. So if you are one of the 10 amazing women that wants to be in this next cohort, now is the time to join. I would love to speak to you about what this program is, how it can serve your needs, your goals right now. So please go to the website where you can learn more information. You can get all the dates for the next cohort, when we actually start, and when the weekly calls are, and when you're going to get access to the video course and all the things. You're going to get all the information on the website. And of course, there's a link there to schedule a 30-minute call with me if you want to speak with me personally to make sure that you are the perfect fit for the program. So the website is RebeccaOlsonCoaching.com/ambitious and balanced. And please, please, please do that right now while you have listened to this testimonial and that you feel inspired to do it. Now is the perfect time to join me, to jump on a call with me, and make the rest of this year like your transformation. Thanks again, Ranjita.
Thank you, Rebecca. Talk soon.
Absolutely. All right. Until then, until next week, Quirky Moms, let's get to it. Before you go, I've got something special because it's my birthday. For a limited time, I'm offering a break free from stress strategy call for only $7. This 30-minute session is designed to help you uncover the mindset that's keeping you overwhelmed and stuck and give you one powerful personalized shift to start feeling better fast. It all starts with a short quiz to identify the mindset type. You'll get a custom breakdown of what's blocking your balance, and then we'll dive deep into it together during our one-on-one strategy call. This is for working moms who are tired of holding it all together and are really ready for something to change. But this birthday gift won't last long. Calls are only available to book up till my birthday, August 7th, and spots are limited. So head to the show notes, grab the link to get started. You don't need more time. You just need a new way of thinking. And let's uncover that together.